This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And we have a special guest. Janet, would you like to introduce our special guest in person?
In person here today, and you know, no stranger to Joy or the LGBTIQ community, especially in the human rights space. Welcome, Brenda Appleton.
Thank you, Janet, and great to be here today.
Well, it's fantastic to have you here. We're here to talk about an award that you've won, the Voltaire Human Rights Award, that's awarded by Liberty Victoria. You're in hallowed company, I think, with previous winners being Magda Zabansky, Gillian Triggs, Waleed Ali, David Marr, going back a couple of years. It seems a bit queer, kind of heavy, doesn't it, really, when you think about it like that?
Amazing range of previous winners. And when I looked through the list, I was staggered to think that I was being added to that list. Real honour.
So these awards, these Voltaire Human Rights Awards, honour a person or a group of people who have made an outstanding contribution to free speech, human rights and or civil liberties, with particular emphasis on progressing freedom, respect, equality, dignity and action. And I've got to say, looking at your CV and knowing and working with you over many years, you're a very worthy recipient. What does it mean to win awards like this?
It's very humbling. I've not done what I've done to get awards, so this came out of the blue, as it were. But I think it's a recognition that what the community's been trying to achieve, and I've stood on the shoulders of others that have gone before, the fight for human rights, for LGBTI, for trans and gender diverse has been around for a long time. And I've been delighted to be able to play my part in that as things progress. But I'm really delighted that there's so many young advocates and activists now in a position to keep the battle going. We've achieved a lot, but there's still a lot more to be done.
So how do you think these are, you know, what role do you think these awards, why do we have these awards, and how do you think these awards contribute to, you know, those young advocates? What role do they play?
Well, I think in my particular case, it gives me a chance to have interviews like today, and I've lined up for some more. So therefore, it gives me a voice to talk about some of the journey that trans and gender diverse people have had, highlight some of the facts that we've made progress, but we've still got a long way to go. And I think it enables me to connect with some of the younger people to ensure that they're aware of what the journey's been. I find many of them want things much more quickly than sometimes is practical to expect. A lot of what I've been involved with has taken, you know, sometimes 5-10 years to achieve. So it is a journey, and I think the award helps to give me a voice, highlight some of those issues, and try and ensure that the younger ones coming through continue to highlight the need for further progress.
So, Brenda, you've been, you know, very engaged in your activism for a number of decades. Can you tease out, this is a two-pronged question, can we tease out some highlights that have been achieved over the journey, and also what significant things still need to be done and achieved?
So I think the biggest highlight was getting the birth certificate legislation through, and particularly when it failed the first time. So it failed in 2016. The upper house was 19 all, so it failed to pass, and couldn't be presented again in that period of that term of government. So it had to wait until the next election, and then it was passed in the next election. And I think the amazing thing was just how well the Labor Party got behind it the next time round. We had a lot of new people in Parliament who were very inclined to support things. I think the community rallied behind it better. And I personally contacted every party and every member of Parliament, upper and lower house, to ensure that they were aware of what the issues were. And some of those meetings weren't very pleasant.
Wow.
And some of them I sort of wondered whether I was wasting my time. But then when we got into Parliament, so the first time around 2016, the coalition was very negative with its comments, a lot of scaremongering about the risks if there was the ability of trans and gender diverse people to have a birth certificate that described themselves.
There was an obsession around toilets, if I remember correctly, when you read read Hansard, you know, what toilet people are going to use. And
and lack of safety, as if there hadn't been trans people around for decades before, perhaps hundreds of years. And so getting that passed the second time, but having such a strong engagement from the Labor government was comforting in knowing that there was a lot more support there. Just as we found with marriage equality, we can't do things by ourselves. We need to engage allies. And I thought that the period of time we had was a great way to connect with a lot of allies and get support for the future, not just for that bill that was to be passed.
Brenda, can I just check with you? Are you saying that when that bill went to Parliament, it wasn't unanimously voted by all parties?
Correct.
And how... I don't understand that. This is a basic human right. And how can... I mean, was it voted on party lines or was it voted as a conscience vote?
There was a mixture across the different parties, and certainly some of the independents were strongly against it and spoke that way in Parliament. It was disappointing that it wasn't unanimous.
And you spoke about this as being voted or brought in by the Labor government. So what was the Liberal Party's position on this?
Mixed. They refused to meet with me. I did meet, the leader refused to meet with me. I did meet with a number of party members. So the Liberals, their negativity in the debate was a lot less, but they were still negative. All those that spoke were negative against it, and that was disappointing. There was certainly no leadership from the coalition to support it.
Mm. So disappointing.
Mm.
And in terms of goals in the next, let's speak short term. What would be some things that need to be achieved in your eyes?
I'm still disappointed that accessing services is so difficult for so many trans and gender diverse. In some ways, it's a lot easier today for trans and gender diverse.
What sort of services are you talking about, Brenda?
Particularly mental health, mm-hmm. but health generally. The majority of people still find the medical practitioner is poorly informed mm-hmm. about the needs from a trans person. We still have people experiencing services and person that they're getting the service from, more interested in their trans journey than what their sickness or illness or presenting issue is at the time. And that's very disappointing that that's still the case. I think there is still legal discrimination against LGBTI in our schools, and I just can't believe that that's still the case. And to think that other young people are told it's all right to discriminate against us in that environment, I think sets a bad example for going forward. So I think there is just so many issues that we still want to see progress on. But I think homelessness and mental health for trans and gender diverse is an issue. There's still a lot of people having to go back into the closet when they age because they can't be sure that they're going to be treated appropriately. And so I find that very disappointing, and there is still a lot more to be done.
Brenda, we're nearly out of time, but Lisa, you're about to...
I've got a personal question, Brenda. Uh-huh. What brings you to social justice? You've been so busy in the activist space. What is it? Where did you get that sense of social justice from?
I guess it was in my upbringing, but I've enjoyed what I've done. It hasn't been a hardship. I'm ready to step back now and leave space for others. But I guess I found a way of coping, and I would love to help others to cope. And, you know, we're about 2-3% of the population. The journey for non-binary and gender diverse people is still very difficult. And so I think those that can need to step up and make their voice heard and do that activism and that advocating for others.
Wow.
I think we could all agree that you've done more than cope. Brenda, your legacy is an inspiration to, well, to me and to lots of people in the LGBTIQ community. And this award, along with all of your other awards, of course, this is another of the awards, but an important one, and richly, richly deserved. So congratulations. We wish you all the best as you... Well, we know that you're not going to step back, actually. Let's be truthful around this, but perhaps try to say no to a few things a bit more often and enjoy the sunshine.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you in the studio and great to see you.
Beauty.
In case you've just tuned in, that was Brenda Appleton, OAM, who has just been awarded the 2022 Voltaire Human Rights Award. An award very well deserved and very rightly awarded, in my view.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.